Your name, sir?
My name is Nathan Pusey.
And your position and occupation?
Well, I'm the president of Harvard University, and I suppose my occupation should be called university administration.
Dr. Pusey, do you feel that our courts are going to put too much emphasis on scientific education as a result of the missile program?
Well, my viewpoint, Mr. Kennedy, is that we might. It would be a natural thing to do, just as a kind of scare reaction, but I hope we won't.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality who will reveal to you, the American public, what he holds to be the responsibilities of his position in American life, produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service by this station. Mr. Kennedy's guest today is Dr. Nathan Pusey, president of Harvard University. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Dr. Pusey. It's a privilege to have this chance to talk with you about education. I wonder, Dr. Pusey, what is the real purpose of education in our country?
Well, there are many purposes. You can't answer that just with one sentence.
Well, let us take some of the purposes then.
I suppose in overall view, you can say the purpose of education somehow is to transmit culture from one generation to another, but that isn't coming very close to immediate purposes.
Well, what would be some of the aspects of culture we want to transmit?
Well, you have to recognize that you're always starting over with new groups of people, and you have to teach them the ways of the society in which they're born. Then you have to really, I suppose, as you go along, the real job is to give them the tools of learning so that they can move up into higher branches of knowledge.
When you mention tools of learning, such as what? Besides reading, writing?
We have to teach them those things first of all.
Yes.
Do that. Then one has to begin to discriminate among the fields of study and knowledge. They find something they're particularly interested in, move along in that. This is a formal education. There's more to it.
Is there any part of education which acts as critic and judge, which changes the mores, the feelings, the customs?
Yes, there is. I suppose this comes when you reach a level of higher education. I don't think the public generally is aware that there is a distinction between education and higher education. Education itself is concerned with teaching the rudiments of knowledge and teaching how to deal with knowledge. But there comes a point in the process where one realizes that there isn't any final body of knowledge that you can teach, and what you want to do is to get people to raise questions about this or that kind of knowledge. This is one of the main purposes of college education.
What then would be the mark of an educated man?
Well, a person who knows a great deal about what has been learned and the kind of experience one has had in the world before he came upon it, who has learned really to use his own mind, and who has a kind of constant curiosity about what is going on in the world, and we like to think also a concern to try to do something to make it a better world.
Do you think that every person should have a college education?
No, I don't think that's true. I don't think it's practical. We have getting to a point now where almost a third of the age group in America is going on to higher education. No country has ever had anything like this before in history. I don't believe that we should ever let ourselves get into a state of mind where we think it's necessary for people to go to college. We ought to remember that some very illustrious people, Abraham Lincoln and others, never went near college.
Then there are other types of education besides the formal.
Oh, indeed. The most important education, I think, goes on in families, can go on in churches, can go on in other places outside schools.
Are there any other organized groups which are educational influences or factors in our countries besides the schools as such?
Oh, today there are many of them. I was surprised, as you were perhaps, to have read recently that the educational activities carried on by businesses in the United States today, and I would include also labor unions, the numbers of people in those far outnumber the numbers in colleges.
Is there apt to be in this country today a diversity of purpose between the formal educators and the, shall we call them, informal educators?
Well, there is, and I think there should be. The whole realm of adult education has in its purview several different aims in mind. There are vocational aims, there are aims of general culture, the Colleges and universities have a more specialized purpose. They're taking a select group of people up to the higher branches of learning and are indeed training the people for research and teaching positions and also for the various professions in our society today. This is an obligation they can't ignore.
Can a person be completely educated in the real sense of the mature sense of the word without having some spiritual orientation, some spiritual discipline?
Well, I don't think he can, but I think that pretty largely this is something ultimately a person finds for himself. I don't think a teacher or the process of formal education can give spiritual maturity. I think it's more likely actually to come from the experience in the family over a period of time, first as a child and then one's own family, but that some kind of maturity of this nature, that this is necessary for an educated human being, seems to me to go without saying.
Dr. Pusey, it would appear that we have a lack of scientifically educated people to do the work which is now necessary in our arms program. Is this due to some lack in our educational system?
I'm not sure that we have a sort of insufficiency. I'm sure there are enough people in this country that are well trained in science to do almost anything that it seems sufficiently important to concentrate on at a given moment. I think that clearly we can, having the kind of society we have, we can use an almost indefinite number of scientists, but we can also use people in other fields of knowledge and experience too. I hope that the numbers in science, also the numbers in the social sciences and the humanities, people who are highly trained, and particularly on the top of that group, ones that can come up with fresh ideas, that there will be more of these in the years ahead.
You feel then that there isn't a real lack of scientifically educated people?
No. It would be helpful if there were a wider understanding in the general public of the importance and value of science, but I don't think that we should think that we don't have a large number of exceptionally good, well-trained, able scientists.
In other words, all of the fuss which we've been having over the missile program is perhaps somewhat of a scare.
Well, it isn't anything about which we should feel especially proud right now. But it doesn't mean that in the course of time we're not going to solve this problem. It doesn't mean we don't have the people to solve the problem. It just means that we haven't given that the priority and worked at it with the urgency that some people now, looking back, think we should have done.
And the word of caution which you would now put in is that we must be careful that we don't come out with well-educated people in the sense of their technical knowledge, but not fully educated in the sense of controlling their technical knowledge.
Well, it's a little more. There are two things involved here. One, we need technical knowledge and technicians. But in the realm of science, what you really want are people that can come up with the new and fresh ideas. You may have noticed the great achievements of the British. Seems to be that they have found a way to harness energy that comes now from the hydrogen atom. If so, this would be the most exciting thing that's happened in the world for a long while. It's more important, I think, to have minds that can solve a problem of that kind than the ones who can work out the technology after the original insight. You need them both, and we have both. But I don't think the American public should suddenly feel that the American scientists are not as good as other scientists.
How do you feel that our educational system differs from, let us say, the Russian educational system?
Well, I don't know, except there is a coerciveness and a degree of seriousness in the Russian system that we don't have. The state obviously uses its educational system for its own purposes. One of the striking differences, the reward of the teacher in Russia is so much greater than they are in this country, that the brightest young people coming along are very ambitious to get jobs as teachers. And this is just the reverse of our present situation. I have said in public two or three times, called attention to the fact that the Russian nation, which is relatively very poor compared with our own, nevertheless spends as much money on higher education as we do. And I think this is true for the whole system of education.
And of course, if the salary scale is any thermometer of their regard, I understand...
They're way ahead of us. The university professor is about the best paid person in the Russian society.
And the corollary seems to be that, therefore, he's looked up to.
That's right.
Do you think that the government can give help to education without having a certain amount of control?
Oh, I think so, yes. I think this has been demonstrated.
Do you think that they can give this help without having a certain, say, pork barreling going on?
It depends upon the kind of help, again. I'm not interested in their getting in the business of year-by-year subsidizing or carrying on the ongoing program of education. But there are specific things which they can do from time to time, which seem to be beyond the reach of the institutions themselves
Such as what?
Such as this kind of laboratory building in medicine I'm talking about. Building one of the things they're doing for us now, the Atomic Energy Commission, building a big electronic accelerator in Cambridge, which we could never possibly afford to build. What the needs are along the elementary and public schools, I just don't know, but I suspect that there are things of this kind where the government can help and should in its own interest.
What is the kind of teacher that we really need and are looking for?
Well, the kind of teacher, well, someone who's dedicated to teaching, who loves it, knows a great deal about a subject, and sees also, I think, the relationship between his subject and other subjects, tries to see how, by drawing young people into this knowledge, that they are fitted for a healthier, more understanding trip through life, and one that will contribute more to other people's happiness as they go along. I think we have a great many such dedicated teachers in our educational system. I just wish there were more of them.
A great many of them get tempted to leave, I'm sure.
That's when they show the qualities.
When they show the qualities you've outlined. May I ask a personal question, Dr. Pusey? What are the satisfactions which you get out of being an educator?
Well, I've enjoyed college and university communities personally. I think, though, that one of the great satisfactions is to have a sense that you live at a growing edge of society. It's seeing young people come into the college each fall and seeing people come into the graduate schools. One has a sense that these are the ones that are going to make the quality of our society, indeed of our world, in the decades ahead. The quality of that is going to be affected by the experience in this that they have in the college. Therefore, my excitement is to try to make sure that that college has teachers, has the resources, has the general atmosphere that will contribute as much as possible to their satisfaction and to their ability to lead full and constructive lives thereafter. Working with faculty people is an immensely exciting thing.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pusey. It's been a great pleasure to have you with us on Viewpoint.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality, produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Protestant Episcopal Church. Today's guest was Dr. Nathan Pusey, president of Harvard University.